I feel like after every rehearsal that we do independently, there's always somebody providing boba.
Yeah, and
So.
for ramen, I feel like it's always after like a big
Yeah.
It's like a celebration food.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I hope you all go have a delicious bowl of ramen after this because you certainly earned it. But being in this trio has not only been good for your stomachs, it's also been good for your souls. In fact, and so I think you said that without this trio, things may have looked really different for you musically.
Yeah, I was kind of struggling last year with finding love for music, but I feel like playing in this trio with Sarah and Elliot really helped me discover, like, rediscover my love for music and why I want to play. And yeah, like, just playing with these two, it's so inspiring and always super fun.
That's great. I really love to hear that. I think that you all lift each other up in the most beautiful way. And I love not just hearing you all play together, but seeing your camaraderie together is really inspiring to me. So thanks so much for spending some time with us today, all three of you. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so, Oh, Elliot Kim, and Sarah Wren, members of the Evita Trio from the Bay Area in California. We have to take a break now, but don't go away. We have some stellar performances coming up from a 17-year-old flutist from Louisville, Kentucky, who loves to express her emotions through her music, and a 19-year-old violinist who started up a music program for an economically underprivileged school, all coming up on the second half of our program. You're listening to From the Top, and I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Did you know that From the Top posts short, beautiful videos of our young musicians every day? The series is called Daily Joy. Treat yourself to youthful inspiration daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people at wtgrantfdn.org.
You're listening to From the Top, and I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. I feel so grateful that I get to be a small part of these young people's lives. It's a real honor to be able to meet them all and collaborate with some of them at the piano. And this is possible due to the generous gift of Susan and Gerald Slavitt, who sponsor my position as host at From the Top. A heartfelt thank you to them. We're now going to meet 17-year-old flutist Reese Hudson, a musician who really knows how to express herself through her instrument. Hey, Reese, nice to meet you and welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about the piece you're going to perform. First of all, what is this piece?
It is called Cantabile and Presto by Ionesco. It's a two-movement work with a slower and then a faster movement.
And what do you love about it, or maybe also what's been a struggle for you with this piece?
I really love the French style music because it's very expressive and emotional. And it's been a little bit of a struggle to find my own musicality and trying to express myself through this piece. It's also been a little bit difficult.
And, you mentioned that it begins with this slower introduction and then it goes into the faster spot. Is there one movement that appeals to you more where you feel like you identify with either the more cantabile opening or that fiery conclusion that we're going to hear?
I'd say maybe the presto, because it's a little more energetic and kind of angry at some points.
Well, let's hear the whole spectrum of the emotions now. This is going to be the Cantabile and Presto by George Enescu. And joining her at the piano is Deborah Dirks. Whenever you're ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you. Thank you.
Reese, I so enjoyed the performance. You brought all the color in the world to that music. It absolutely blossomed. It was a treat to listen to. Brava.
Thank you.
So you started playing the flute back in fifth grade, right?
Yes.
And I understand that there was a teacher who had a major impact on you. Can you tell me a little bit more about that teacher?
Yes. He was my fifth grade band director. And so in fifth grade, you don't really audition for all county. The teacher usually just picks like two students to go. But my band director decided that the class would vote as just like individually vote for two people they thought deserved to go. And I did not end up getting the most votes, but my director said that he thought I deserved a chance to go to be in the all county ensemble. So
he sent you anyway.
Yeah.
Tell me that vote of confidence, like what did that mean to you in that moment?
That was the first time that someone believed in me like musically. So it just kind of set a great foundation for my motivation to continue to play the flute.
Yeah. So you were originally in the Chicago area, right?
Yes.
And how long ago did you move to Louisville?
About 4 or 5 years ago.
And I know that that can be, you know, such a tough transition at that age. But what specifically did music do for you in terms of communities as you got yourself situated down there in Louisville?
Yeah, I started getting more and more into the kind of band world, music world. Mm-hmm. And I auditioned for the Youth Performing Arts School here in Louisville. And after that, I joined the marching band. And that also really helped just finding a sense of home within the community.
Yeah. I've heard that marching bands can be almost like a family. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, very true.
You've clearly set high goals for yourself and you've worked so hard and you've achieved so many of those goals already. And that kind of dedication is so impressive. I'm very pleased to say that at From the Top, we are continuing to support your path with the Jack Kent Cook Award. What will you do with the money from the scholarship?
I plan on purchasing a new flute and and a new piccolo and a whole bunch of repertoire.
So do you have your eye on a new flute already?
I do. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to purchase it, but I'm really hoping I'll be able to.
Sweet. Well, if you sound this good on your current flute, I can't even imagine how beautiful it'll be on the new instrument. I just want to thank you again, Reese, for being with us today. Your music was just so beautiful, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
That was 17-year-old Reese Hudson from Louisville, Kentucky, playing Enescu's Cantabile e Presto. Deborah Dirks was on the piano. Reese is a recipient of the Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. For over 15 years, From the Top has partnered with the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, and together we have given out over $3 million of scholarships to young musicians with financial need. Funding is still available, so if you want to apply, please go to fromthetop.org and click Apply. And now for our final performer on the show, 19-year-old AJ Malia from Cupertino, California. Not only is he a total pro at the violin, but he's studying neuroscience in his freshman year at the Columbia Juilliard Dual Degree Program. And that's not luck, folks. That is some serious hard work to get there. And he has earned his place for sure. Here's AJ now performing the first movement of Mozart's Violin Sonata No. 18 in G major, K301. On the piano is Dmitry Kogan. Thank you. AJ, I so enjoyed that performance. Just stunning.
Thank you very much.
AJ, aside from appreciating your artistry, I'm really into the breadth of your interests, from writing to neuroscience to economics, and also you've done quite a bit of giving back. So talk to me a little bit about the organization you started, Bravo Strings. What is that?
So there's like a economically underprivileged school. It's a middle school right next to my high school, and they didn't really have like a music program, and actually neither did my high school until my sophomore year. And I was thinking like I was complaining about like our school not having like a music program.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking like they don't have it either. And I think it's just as important for students there to be exposed to classical music and or any sort of music. Right. So
right.
I went to a couple of violin shops and then I asked them for musical instruments. And luckily we got like I think it was four violins, a viola and a cello.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to like build a kind of a very like rudimentary curriculum.
Wow.
And so I taught with a guy a year younger than me, a junior, and we just taught them, and it was nice. Like the goal wasn't really to get them to some sort of performance level. Like obviously during the first year that might have not like happened, but the goal was just right. to get them exposed, you know.
Wow. I mean, I love that. It's not just that you went out and found instruments for these kids to play on, but then you built out a curriculum, mm-hmm. like really empowered them. Another area that's captured your interest has been creative writing. And you've said that creative writing is particularly important for young teenage men. Why do you feel that is?
Yeah. So this kind of stemmed from, I took a creative writing class in junior year of mm-hmm. high school. And that was probably the best decision ever, because I know like in sophomore and junior year, like you're getting all this stress, like especially junior year, because of like back then there was the SAT and stuff. Now I'm sure it's changed, but
yeah,
because of the whole test optional and whatnot. But I think like with all the stress of like the later years of high school, I think like a lot of people, like not a lot of people play instruments, like not every single person plays instruments. So I think things like creative writing, they're really great ways to like express those like kind of very deep inner thoughts.
Yeah.
And like express yourself. And I think specifically for guys and high school, or maybe it's just like because I went to an all guys school, so
right, yeah, maybe, me too,
yeah,
me too, man.
No way.
I lived that.
That's okay. Coincidence. But I think like guys need to be more like expressive of when they're at, like at a younger age, and I think that class like really helped a lot of the guys. I remember one time in one lecture, we were doing like kind of a close reading and analysis of this this short story called My Son the Murderer, which is still like one of my favorite. Short stories. It's only like 6 pages, but like it's such a moving short story that like by the time my teacher like finished explaining the whole thing and the like the deeper meaning, one of my friends like who I've like never seen cry, he was just crying, and because it really like hit home for him, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're, you know, we obviously, you and I have this shared experience of having been in all guy school and knowing that there can be this tremendous pressure on young men to feel like it's not okay to express oneself or to get in touch with our creative side or emotional side. So I totally agree with you that creative writing can be a fantastic outlet for that. Well, now you've graduated high school and you are doing the prestigious, the famous, the almost infamous program, the Columbia Juilliard combined dual degree here in New York. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I can't say I necessarily envy you because I know how much hard work that is. I know how intense it is. Is it true that you hope to explore neuroscience at Columbia, and what's attracting you to that field?
So neuroscience, my grandfather, he had like sort of neurodegenerative disease, and he passed away several years ago. He basically like lost his ability to speak and move gradually.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of I wanted to like do eventually, like as a career, like do some sort of research on that, those right. types of diseases. Cause I think those are like the most painful ones to watch even as a family member.
Yeah. That can be just so hard to witness. And, I love that you took that, source of pain essentially in your life, but then now you're kind of turning that around and helping to use it to fuel you to pursue something meaningful and that you can do good with. It's inspiring to me. Then again, sort of everything about you is quite inspiring. You're a man of many talents, and the future is so bright for you, and thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you very much.
AJ Malia from Cupertino, California, now living and studying here in New York City. Well, that concludes our show for today. I hope you've enjoyed From the Top this week and are feeling as inspired as I am by these exemplary young people. I want to thank all the young performers we've met today, not only for sharing their music, but also for sharing their humanity. And to you, listening at home or in the car, or at the kitchen table with a hot cup of minestrone soup, thank you for spending this time with us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Please join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. From the Top is produced by Tim Banker, Megan Swan, and Jessica Tichton. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. A special thank you to Josh Sauvageau, George Preston, and Oliver Camacho at WFMT in Chicago for letting us use their beautiful performance studio. Also, thanks to Howie Gano at Louisville Recording Arts, Tom Disher at Disher Sound, and Edwin Hewitt at Octavan Audio. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering visitors information about the arts, culture, and history of Boston. The journey begins at visitma.com. From Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And from the estate of Jane Gross, whose bequest supports NPR's commitment to creating a more informed public by distributing programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICAN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICAN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.